Dear ones, we welcome you all into the house of the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we're thankful to have some visitors here who have chosen to stay with us today. We have Brother Jimmy Hodges from the Virginia congregation. He has agreed to serve this morning, so let us lift him up in prayer for that message, even as we read that really moving hymn of the message that it would bring many souls to salvation. And we also have Brother Rod Cook from the Syracuse congregation. He will support with the prayer and the closing comments. Brother Dan Hertig is here also. We'd like to ask you if you could prepare a hymn and have the second prayer after the sermon. Thankful to all of you who have come to worship with us, and may we support the brethren in prayer.
May we bow our hearts in a word of prayer. We thank thee, the living God, and our heavenly Father, for thy very presence with us this morning. And we would simply ask that the power and the wisdom and the strength of thy Holy Spirit would speak to us. That, Father in heaven, we might give thee the praise and the honor and the glory that is due thee. May thy Holy Spirit touch each of us this morning. And that we might have ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts open to receive thy word, despite the unworthiness of the one who speaks. So we sit at thy feet for learning this morning, to lead us into the paths of righteousness and of truth. And we give thee thanks in Christ's name. Amen. May we share out of the Old Testament this morning a psalm that was probably written by David in his later years. A song of praise, a song of worship, and that being Psalm 103, Psalm 103. Thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let's kneel in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're gathered together this morning to bless your holy name. We pray that our blessings would ascend to heaven and that your blessings of fellowship, the blessings of your spirit, the blessings of your truths from your word would descend upon us and that you would bless us as we have this opportunity to be together in your house of prayer, to come together as one in worship and in repentance and in restoration of our lives as we seek to honor and please you. We're thankful for your son Jesus, for his shed blood on the cross that made possible our reconciliation with you, that made it possible for us to have your blessings, to partake in your blessings, and to be one in spirit with you. We're thankful for your love for us and for the blessings of this congregation and their service to us already in this weekend. We pray that you would bless them for this. We pray that you'd bless Brother Jimmy as he leads us in this morning hour, that you would inspire him through the power of your spirit, that you would uplift and encourage him and each of us as we hear your spirit minister to our individual needs. All these things we thank thee for and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
as God has created man in his image. He has given us the ability to reason and to think. In the age that we're living in, man thinks about a lot of things. But we're living in an age where man is becoming more confused. And that is what Satan is trying to do, to dilute the minds of man, to dwell, if you will, on the negatives, to dwell on those things that bring destruction, to dwell on those things that tear down. And if we dwell on the things that are in the ditch, we're going to end up in the ditch. But God doesn't want us to dwell on those things. He doesn't want us to dwell on the negative. But he wants us to dwell on him and praising him and honoring him for what he's done for us. And we know the life of David. A life, as the scripture says, a man after God's own heart. And basically his life was spirit-led, yet we do know that he stumbled, that he failed, and that he sinned. And God forgave him. Just as we as sinners today, when God calls us and we give our life unto him, he forgives us. And he wants us to praise him, to bring him the honor, to bring him the glory that's due him. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not his many benefits." How do we bless the Lord? How often do we bless the Lord? How often do we give thanks for what he's done for us, for his goodness and his mercy and his abundant love? He redeemeth our life from destruction. And we just celebrated the Easter season. As we celebrated the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he gives us life. But more important than that, in giving us life, if you will, as we celebrated and honored his death at Calvary, when he shed his blood, for the scripture is very plain, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he died upon the cross. And he was buried. And when he was buried, Satan was thinking, I've got you now. You're dead. But oh, how mistaken Satan was. Because Christ rose from the dead. And when Christ rose from the dead, Satan knew he was defeated forever. Oh, he's going to fight. He's going to win some battles. But Satan, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he won the war. A war of victory. A war of life that he wants to give to all who accept. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Christ wants us to soar like the eagles. What a beautiful picture when you look in the sky and it's clear and you see a big eagle flying. That's what Christ wants to do to us, to fly over us and to take us in like a chicken, using her wings to cover her chicks. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. If we go back, I believe, to the 33rd chapter of Exodus, it talks about Moses, a man of God, a man who talked with God as we talk. And he wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see the very presence of God. And God told him, as he spoke to him, you cannot see my face, but as I pass through the cliff, you can see my hind parts. And he did. But what a blessing today. Not only can we see God in his creation, but God himself dwells within the individuals who have accepted his Son as Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come into. God dwells within. What a blessing. Do we give God the glory? Do we give God the praise? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We are not worthy of his gracious grace. We are not worthy of his mercy. And we know what grace and we know what mercy are. Mercy is getting something, not getting something that we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. We didn't deserve God's mercy. And his grace, he's given to something that we don't deserve either. Let me rephrase that. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. The penitent thief said, God, remember me. Are we asking God to be merciful to me? Are we praising him for his mercy and his grace? He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if he did, we couldn't escape the final judgment. But because of his abundant love and dying for us through his Son, he forgives us our iniquities. He forgives us our sins. And how great is his mercy toward us? How great is his love toward us? As far as the east is from the west. And if you go to the east, and you continue to go to the west, they don't meet. They keep going this way, opposites. How great is God's abundant mercy to those who have accepted him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We were formed out of the dust of the earth. God formed us. God created man out of the dust. And the body, when it dies, is going to return to that dust. Contrary to what a lot of people might believe, the scripture is very plain that the body will go back to the dust when one dies. And what about man, about our life? He says, for as man his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We go into James, and it talks about our life being a vapor. What is a vapor? In the sight of God. When you go home, you take a match and you light it. And then put your finger over it and watch the vapor. How long is it? That's how long our life is in the sight of God. That's how long our life is in the light of eternity. because the body goes back to the dust, the soul lives on in eternity. Do we praise God for that eternal life that He gives to us? Do we praise God for that abundant life in Him that He gives us? And a lot of the world thinks that abundant life is the things that we have, the things that we own. But the most abundant life is abundant life in spirit and in truth and in Jesus Christ. A spiritual abundant life. Are we experiencing that in this world of chaos, in this world of sin that we live in? His mercy, for the wind passeth over and gone. And we just celebrated Easter, which follows in the Old Testament, they had Passover, where they put the blood up. And death passed over those who had the blood. Christ became our Passover because He took upon Him our death. He passed over. Do we give Him thanks for that? God's mercy, the Lord's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. To such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments. The Lord hath prepared the throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He ruleth over all. Does He rule over all in our life? In the things that we do? In the things that we think? In the trials that we have? In the victories that we have? Is He ruling over all in our lives? And how are we to praise? How are we to honor God? And how are we to love Him? In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, we read. When they asked the master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Are we loving God with all that He's given to us? First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be reserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God, to preserve us, body, soul, and spirit. Now let's reverse that. Are we praising God with body, soul, and spirit? The soul, that's our seat of affections, our desires, our emotions, the will of man. And we can read about that in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and then John, the 12th chapter. And the spirit, that's our communication with God, because God gives us the spirit. His spirit. So what can we identify these three parts of man? We have the body, the physical body. That is what connects us with the world. It consists of our senses. Our hearing, our seeing, our talking. We might say it's world consciousness. And what is the soul? That's the central part of man. And that is the part that lives eternally. It's what we call his personality. It's what he, as a man thinketh, so is he. We might say it stands for self-consciousness. And then we have the spirit. It's the deepest part of man. It's when God breathed into Adam the breath, O spirit of life. With this act, something from God himself came into man. This part is related to the worship and adoration and prayer. And we might say it stands for God consciousness. And God wants all of our consciousness, all of our being, to worship and to praise him. So how can we do that? How can we do that in this mixed up world that we're living in? A world that is controlled by Satan. As the psalm says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what do we think about? How can we keep our mind and our soul, our heart, focused on Christ as we journey through this life? The Apostle Paul gives us a way that we can do that. A verse that many of us know, found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What are we thinking? Are we thinking on these things? And God wants all of us to praise his name, to think on these things, and to bless his name. And many, many, many down through the years have experienced the blessings of the Lord. And God is still calling to those because he wants to share his blessings with you, to those who have rejected Christ. He's calling you also to come and to praise him, to praise the one who died on a cross and rose again, that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly. The blessed story of the Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, is worthy of all our song and praise and stirs the hearts of men. The fullness of God's love divine surrounds the Christ so marvelous. Alas, how many only know the Savior as a child. Our saving hope is all in vain if here our love should cease. For in the man of Galilee, we find the gift of peace. 'Tis not the babe, but Christ the man who walked in Galilee. 'Tis not the manger, but the cross that sets the spirit free. Be not content this babe to know, nor stay at Bethlehem. But go with Christ to Calvary's brow beyond Jerusalem. 'Tis there men learn to know the Christ, for there he bore man's sin. then open wide the door of heart and let the Savior in. Are we letting the Savior in this morning?
Brother Jimmy touched on a lot of topics this morning. First of all, our need to praise the Lord, to bless his name with our body, soul, and spirit. He talked about the need for salvation, the need to recognize Jesus, not just as a child, not just as a good person, but as our personal Savior, someone who came and shed his blood on the cross that we could have salvation. And he reminded us of the shortness of life. Man's days on earth are quickly over. And as I get older, I feel that urgency, that need that I have perhaps less time. But this week, I was reminded that even that is much of a facade to think that God owes me another day on this earth. I commute with my son sometimes to the city where we work. He got in the car Monday morning, and he was very quiet. I said, what's the matter? He said, something really bad happened. I said, well, what? Can you tell me about it? He didn't want to tell me. Finally, he says, Ken passed away last night. His friend Ken was found dead in his apartment. Ken had had a very rough life. He had had two wives, been divorced at least twice. But late in his life, Ken found a reason to live. Ken came to Jesus, and he wanted to serve Jesus. And though he was still a new believer and still learning about the Word and how to best serve Jesus, Ken was an encouragement to each one of us that came into contact with him. He would come to our Bible studies occasionally at church and engage us with the Scripture. He knew the Scripture. And in spite of his background, in spite of the hardships that his life had seen, Ken was a blessing to our family. So we aren't promised another day, regardless of how old or young we are, but we are promised that God is preparing a place for us in heaven, that he's creating a new heaven and a new earth, and that he's going to give us a new body someday when our soul goes to be with him. And I pray that each one today would listen to the scripture that we heard, that you would take advantage of every day that God gives you to bless his holy name and to serve him with all of your body, soul, and strength, and look to him when you feel weak to renew your strength, to give you the strength and direction that you need when you call upon his name. And I pray that each of us would continue to bless the Lord with our soul, with all the strength that he gives us. May God bless his word in this day.